From Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. That may be found on page 1128 of the church Bibles. Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we received grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ.
Well, good morning, everyone, and a very happy Easter to you, particularly if you're visiting with us. We're delighted that you could come and celebrate this such important and joyful festival in the Christian calendar. And I want to start off this morning by reading you a short part of a poem by a guy called Steve Turner. Here's what he said. We believe that all religions are basically the same, at least the one we read was. They all believe in love and goodness. They only differ in matters of creation, sin, heaven, hell, God, and salvation. We believe that each man must find the truth that is right for him. We believe there is no such thing as absolute truth, excepting the truth that there is no absolute truth. Well, that's part of a longer poem by Steve Turner, poking fun at what is a very popular point of view in our society these days. The view that says, I can choose what to believe and I can believe anything I want. I may believe in Marx or Freud or Darwin or Jesus or nothing at all. And you know what? That's got nothing to do with you. All religions are basically the same. Each person must find the truth that is right for them. In other words, my religion is private and it's personal and it's completely internal. And the problem with that is, well, the problem with that is the resurrection of Jesus. Because what we celebrate in Easter Sunday isn't private at all. It isn't. It's a public event, a historical event. It's the event that stands at the very center of world history. It's the event that separates our calendars into BC and AD, despite attempts to conceal that by calling it Common Era and before Common Era. It's BC before Christ and AD Anno Domini, year of our Lord. The resurrection of Jesus is an event so colossal that if it's true, it detonates every other worldview. Now, the resurrection either happened or it didn't. Whether I believe it or want to believe it, whether you believe it this morning, it's either true or it's not true, right? Just a moment ago, we read this, Laurie read this from Romans about Jesus. He was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. Now, you can't say religion is just private because the resurrection was public. And you can't say truth is just personal. If the resurrection really happened, then Christianity is the truth, like it or not. And if the resurrection didn't happen, then Christianity is a lie. And as Christians, here's what we're proclaiming on Easter Sunday morning. The resurrection declares Jesus is God's Son. The resurrection declares Jesus is God's Son, declares it publicly. This is not a matter of private opinion. It's very much in the public domain. Jesus was a historical figure. No one argues about that. Jesus lived in Palestine in the first century, And his life was recorded in the Bible, but not just in the Bible, by a number of secular historians as well. They document his life, and they document his execution by the Roman authorities. And Neil will be mentioning later on a book you can pick up and have a look at that tells us more about that. So Jesus was a man, but not just a man. Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. We read in verse 3 here, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David. Now, what's that about, a descendant of David? Well, God's Old Testament people, the Jews, were waiting for the king they believed God had promised them. They were waiting for their Messiah. It means anointed one, special one. The one they believed would usher in a wonderful kingdom of peace and prosperity. So the Jews had listened to Jesus' teaching, and they'd seen Jesus' miracles, and they'd wondered, could this be our Messiah? The Old Testament scriptures told them that their Messiah would be descended from King David, and Jesus was. We read that here, descended from David. But Jesus had led a pretty obscure life, by and large. He never, ever traveled outside Palestine. He never commanded an army. He never sat in a throne. He never even tried to overthrow the Roman occupation of Israel. In fact, he was poor. He was homeless. He was persecuted. He was arrested. He was despised and mocked and flogged and executed. And if Jesus was supposed to be the Messiah, then it all seemed to have gone horribly wrong. And on Good Friday, Jesus gasped his last on the cross, and his body was consigned to the grave. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes, death had claimed another victim. And it seemed that all the hopes and all the dreams of Jesus' disciples were buried there with him. A Messiah wouldn't get crucified. Well, would he? Jesus on a cross, Jesus in a tomb, that says publicly Jesus wasn't the Messiah. But then came Easter. And it turned out that Jesus is much more than the Jewish Messiah. Much more. The tomb was empty. Jesus had risen, literally, bodily risen. He hadn't just disappeared. It wasn't just that his body had somehow or other gone missing and no one could find it. No, he could be seen. He could be touched. He walked, he talked, he ate and drank. This was no illusion. This was no wishful thinking. This was physical and concrete and historical and seen by a whole catalogue of witnesses. This was a public declaration of Jesus' identity. So we read there, he was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. Who is Jesus? Well, not just a man, not just the Jewish Messiah, but Jesus is God himself. For a number of years, a long time ago, I lived in Edinburgh. And I had a little flat quite near the city centre. And if you've been to Edinburgh, you'll know that all around the city, you can see the castle up there on the rock. And at night, it's floodlit and it looks majestic up there, towering over the city. And each year in the middle week of the Edinburgh Festival, on the Thursday evening, there's this giant fireworks display. £1 million worth of fireworks paid for by Glenlivet whiskey, and they all go up in smoke in 30 minutes flat, and it's absolutely brilliant. And before the fireworks start, the floodlights in the castle are turned off. And if you arrived at the city at that moment, you wouldn't know there was a castle there. You simply can't see it. But when the floodlights are switched back on, then it appears, huge and magnificent and dominating the skyline. Now, think of it like this. During his earthly life, Jesus taught his disciples privately. And when he addressed the crowds, he spoke in parables. And his identity was a subject of lots of discussion and speculation. And even his own disciples didn't really figure out who he was. They didn't really grasp it. They were pretty much in the dark. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, people couldn't see who he was. His glory was veiled. They knew he was a man, obviously. They'd hoped he might have been the Jewish Messiah, but that didn't look as if it had come to anything. They hadn't the faintest clue he was the Son of God. But when God raised Jesus from the dead on Easter Sunday morning, then the floodlights went on. That's when Jesus went public. He was appointed the Son of God in power from his resurrection from the dead. That's when people who saw who Jesus was. Of course, Jesus always had been the Son of God. From before the creation of the world, he'd been the Son of God. But he'd humbled himself. Here's what we read in the scriptures. Being in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. And when Jesus humbled himself, it didn't make him less than the Son of God, not at all. Not for a moment. It added humanity to his deity. But the floodlights were off, and the world couldn't see his splendor. But when Jesus rose from the dead, his standing in the world was completely transformed. No longer the suffering victim, now Jesus is the conquering hero, triumphing over death. Now his status is revolutionized. Now he's the Son of God in power. Not the Son of God in weakness, now the Son of God in power. The resurrection was the divine reversal of the human verdict on Jesus. Human beings put Jesus to death. God raised Jesus from the dead. The resurrection declares that Jesus is God's Son. Here's the Apostle Paul writing to the Christians in Corinth. Though we once regarded Christ from a worldly point of view, he wrote, we do so no longer. Why? Why the change of mind? Why the change of view? Because of the resurrection. So let me ask you this morning, how do you regard Jesus this morning? As a historical figure from 2,000 years ago, he was certainly that. As the Jewish Messiah? Well, yes, although most Jews don't actually believe that. But the resurrection proclaims something far more than that. The Bible tells us Jesus has life in himself. The Bible tells us Jesus has the power of an indestructible life. Jesus is a man, but not just a man. Jesus is the Messiah, but much more than the Messiah. Jesus is the Son of God. And that's not private. It's not personal. It's not true if you'd like it to be true for you, and not true if there's something else you'd rather believe. The resurrection is recorded as history. Either it's true or it isn't. And each one of us has to look at the evidence and make up our mind. Christians believe the resurrection declares that Jesus is God's Son. I wonder if you find that hard to believe. Hard to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Because people don't do that. They don't come back from the grave. Perhaps you say, well, look, no one else has ever risen from the grave, so why should I believe that this bloke, Jesus, rose from the dead? But you see, that's exactly the point. Jesus is unique. Only Jesus is God the Son. When Jesus rose from the dead, it was something completely new and completely unprecedented. The fact that Jesus' resurrection is unique and without parallel isn't an objection to Christianity. It's the central claim of Christianity. It's the foundation of the Christian faith. He was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead. Okay, but so what? All this is remarkable and amazing, but what's it got to do with you and me, personally? Well, everything. The Bible tells us that Jesus came into this world to die on the cross, taking the blame for how we try to live our lives as if God didn't exist, and then to rise from the dead in triumph over death itself. And if all that is true, if it's true, then the right response is to fall on our knees before Jesus. Further on in this letter to Romans we read the beginning of, Paul writes this: if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The resurrection declares Jesus is God's Son, and the Christian declares that Jesus is Lord. The Christian declares that Jesus is Lord. We live in a godless world, a world that has tried to squeeze God out. We've shut him up in ancient buildings with stained glass windows and spires so he can't get in the way of how we want to live. We've kept him at arm's length so he doesn't make demands on us. And we've even pretended he doesn't exist. And God is angry. Surprised? God made us. God owns us. God loves us. God wants us. And we've kicked him in the teeth. And God is angry. And left to ourselves, all of us are under God's condemnation. The whole human race. It's a colossal tragedy. And here's what God has done about it. The man Jesus Christ was God come in human flesh. God come as a man. God the Son, and yet he came into the world to die as a human being for human beings. He came and took the penalty and the blame which we men and women deserve. Perhaps we can think of it like this. The cross was the moment when all the evil and all the pain of the world were heaped up in one place on one day, there to be dealt with once for all. How do we know that's true? How do we know that's what happened? How do we know God died for us? We know it because of the resurrection. The resurrection declares that Jesus is God's Son. And as Christians, we declare Jesus is Lord. And that's not private. It's public. It's an open declaration that Jesus died for us and bought our freedom from condemnation. Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth these words: you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Another way of saying, Jesus is Lord. And you know what? That requires a bit of a climb down. That requires that I recognize that I wasn't able to sort out my own life. I needed Jesus. It means I need to swallow my pride. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The Christian declares Jesus is Lord. This is public. Heart and mouth go together. The very first creed of the early church were these very words: Jesus is Lord. If you can say Jesus is Lord this morning, this Easter Sunday, you're saying the same as millions of Christians around the world are saying today and have said for 2,000 years. Jesus is Lord. To say Jesus is Lord if you don't believe God raised him from the dead, well, that makes no sense at all. Why would you do that? If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, then he isn't God's son. And this whole Christianity business is dead in the water. In some parts of the world, to say Jesus is Lord brings opposition, even persecution, even martyrdom. You'd have to be crazy to say Jesus is Lord and end up in jail or worse unless you believe in the resurrection. Christians are prepared to die for Jesus because they know Jesus isn't dead. Right? Christians are prepared to die for Jesus because they know Jesus isn't dead. Now, it'll cost you and me something to declare that Jesus is Lord. People will laugh at us. They might write us off as crazy. They may be angry with us. But if we know it's true, we'll keep on saying it. Because to believe in Jesus' resurrection and just keep quiet about it, well, that's unthinkable. Well, isn't it? If I discovered a cure for Alzheimer's and I decided not to tell anyone, that's unthinkable. If I found the cure for cancer and I thought, hey, I'll just keep that to myself, that's criminal. In the same way, then, if I know, if you know, that Jesus is God's Son and he died to save us from condemnation and give us eternal life, if I decide that's something private and personal and just for me, what sort of person am I? I wonder if you're here with us this morning as a visitor and you've come because someone brought you along and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian. And maybe your friend or your family member, they've asked you lots of times and you sort of wondered, why are they so persistent? Well, it's because they've come to know this truth. And they want you to know it as well. The resurrection declares that Jesus is God's Son. And the Christian declares that Jesus is Lord. We hear quite a lot about discrimination in our society. Discrimination on the basis of ethnic origin. Discrimination because of age. Discrimination over gender issues. But the worst discrimination of all is to decide not to tell someone about Jesus and his resurrection. To decide that that's private and personal. Sexism and ageism and racism and all the other isms pale into insignificance before this. To know about Jesus, about his life and death and resurrection, to know all that and to keep it to myself. So if you're here this morning as a visitor with us, we're so pleased you've come to join us. Easter is a great Sunday to come to church. We are here to declare publicly that Jesus rose from the dead, and for us as Christians, that Jesus is Lord. So now the ball's in your court. Further on in Romans, Paul writes these words, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And that's the offer held out to you this Easter morning if you're not yet a Christian or you're not sure. Everyone, you, if you call on the name of the Lord, will be saved. Jesus died to pay for your rebellion against God and mine. Jesus is alive. If you put your faith in Jesus, you'll be made right with God. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let's take a moment of quiet and then I'll pray for us. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the Lord Jesus. How we thank you that though he is and always has been your Son, he humbled himself and came into this world in weakness as a man to die standing in our place, taking the rap for us, hanging on the cross so that we would never have to face your wrath. And how we rejoice this morning that 2,000 years ago you raised him from the dead, that he is the Son of God in power. Father, thank you for the reassurance that brings us, for the certainty that one day we shall be raised from the dead. And Father, I commit to you those who are with us this morning who have not yet got that assurance, that as they think through these things, you would open their eyes to help them to see who Jesus is and what Jesus did and what that means for them, for your glory. Amen.